Welcome, everybody. Let me help you envision, explore, and execute your plans. This is Motivate Me, and I'm Lynette Renda. If the holidays and the seasons have lost their luster, you need to meet Mary Beth Bull. Before we get started today, I just want to make sure you know you can go to motivatemepodcast.com, and there you're going to find our show notes, links to all of the resources mentioned. You'll find an application to be on the show. You'll have access to our email, and we can direct you to the Motivate Me Ultimate Support System Facebook page, because nothing matters more to me than to connect with my listeners. So I hope I can do that starting right now. Ladies and gentlemen, on today's show, we have Mary Beth Bull. She is the Director of Development of Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Monmouth and Middlesex Counties, which is in New Jersey. First of all, Mary Beth, I'd like to really welcome you to this show, our Thanksgiving Day show.
Thank you so much, Lynette. It's my pleasure to be here.
I just couldn't imagine having a Thanksgiving Day show that didn't embody a serious sense of gratitude, which I know that Big Brothers, Big Sisters, I mean, it's just got to be emanating from everybody who works there and everybody who participates. So I know you brought a quote that's meaningful to you and Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Would you like to share that with everybody?
I would love to. So this is one that we use a lot here, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and it's very simple. To whom much is given, much is required. And I really believe in that so much because I've been very blessed in my life, and most of my coworkers have as well, and our big brothers and our big sisters who mentor the children. And we all feel that you have so much in your life and you really should support those who are struggling or who don't have the same things that you have. So I really believe in that quote, and I try to live by it as much as possible.
I think that is part of gratitude as well, is, you know, one of the things about feeling as if you live in abundance is to give some of that back in whatever way works for you. Now, here's the thing, Mary Beth, my show is about this. I interview people who have discovered or rediscovered a passion and incorporated it into their lives so that my listeners can say, wow, either they really connect to the passion or they don't. They don't have to. But what they have to connect to is hearing how it's changed somebody's life or fulfilled their life. And then they can apply it in whatever way that means. For some people, it's something they do once a month. For other people, it could lead to a new career. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, I agree.
So for you guys, I mean, serving others and being of service and volunteering, I really, truly don't know anything that is more meaningful. So when we talk about this as being a passion for people, and I know it's a passion for you all as employees and also for the volunteers, but how do you see this as a passion with your organization or within it?
Well, I know for myself, I've been here for 14 years, so I am certainly passionate about it. I love coming to work every day. I'm just driven every day by what we're doing and the important work with the kids that really need somebody to be there for them and an extra person and set of hands just to be there and be a positive influence for them. So many of our big brothers and big sisters and their little brothers and sisters are so devoted to their friendships. I would say that they really do truly have a passion for their friendship and big brothers, big sisters, so much so that they often continue their friendship well past the one-year commitment that we ask for. Many have gotten together when the little is just 6 or 7 years old, and now they're graduating high school and going on to college. Often they're the first in their family to reach that milestone, which is huge. And I was hoping I could just give one example of a passionate volunteer that we have in our organization.
And I'm hoping you can give as many examples as you want.
I do have a lot, but okay. The one that I was thinking of now is somebody who is very close to our organization. She was named our big sister of the year for the state of New Jersey out of over 5,000 volunteers that were up for that award. And that was for this year that just passed. And her name is Kathy, and she is the big sister to her little sister, Christiana, who is not that little anymore, actually. She's graduated from high school. And Kathy has stood by Christiana through some really tough times when Christiana ended up in a juvenile detention center because of something that she did, which I won't go too far into. But Kathy loved her so much, and they had built such a strong friendship, and the time that they spent together was so meaningful that Kathy would drive over an hour each way to visit her on a weekly basis and to do some of the activities that they had always loved doing together. She would bring craft projects, and or they would take walks at the local mall. She would come over and just make that time above and beyond by driving to a place out of our county to go and spend time with her. So as a result, Christiana went on to graduate from high school and now works part-time and goes to our local community college on a full scholarship. And both of them have said that they will intend to be in each other's life for the rest of it. So that is just so meaningful and rewarding for us here at our agency to know that we're creating friendships that are often going to go well above and beyond the year that we ask that they do that. So it really is a passion for all of us, and often for the bigs and littles as well.
You know, I'm trying to keep my composure here because I just resigned as a teacher, high school teacher, last spring. And one of my students, whose name is Anissa, I had her when she was 14, and she is now married and has a child. And she calls me Mama Renda, and she still physically calls me on the phone periodically. We talk all the time on Facebook.
Oh, that's great.
She had a similar scenario where, you know, she was removed from her home and all of those things, and I would go visit her there, and we are still friends. And she listens to the show. So, Anissa, I'm thinking of you and our relationship right now and your beautiful little baby and beautiful husband. So
that's fantastic. So you are unofficially a big sister
right.
to Anissa, which is fantastic.
Right, exactly. And you know what? You just made me realize that I didn't, you know, as teachers, you know what I mean. You're surrounded by people all the time who are in the lives of children who need them. So as, you know, you teach high school especially, but I mean, I'm sure in any grade, you just kind of fill roles of whatever the kids need who are around you.
Exactly. And that's so great that when teachers do that, when they really take an interest, especially in a child that might be struggling, and it might not be that obvious, but obvious to that teacher. And that always warms my heart to see that they go above and beyond. And we deal with a lot of schools and a lot of teachers here also, and we're always so grateful to them for coming forth and asking for our help and in trying to even get more services for a child. That's often where our referrals will come from. They'll notice that a child's struggling in some way with things at home or things at school or often all of it. And they will come to us and just make an inquiry about it and try to get the ball rolling on how they can get a mentor for this child.
Right. Now, you know, here's the thing. I always ask my guests, did they have any hesitations or challenges along the way when they were kind of adopting this passion or incorporating it into their lives? For you, Mary Beth, my question would be, say there's somebody, and I know there are people out there right now saying, you know, I'd love to be in the life of a child who really needs me, because I think people in general, we just need to be needed too. And we need to be welcomed into things that would want us to help and feel like we are making a difference. I think part of the thing is you just really have a hard time sometimes finding that comfortable place where you feel like you're needed and this is a good fit. So what kind of hesitations or challenges do some of the volunteers kind of have to get over in order to put themselves in this role?
So I would say the number one obstacle would be the big brother or sister or the potential volunteer would think that the commitment was far greater than what it actually is. And therefore, they won't take that first step in finding out more because their assumption is that they need to see this child every day or every few days or, you know, quite a few times a week even. And certainly something that would not be fun. It would become one more thing on our to-do list. So what they should know, and once they find out, they will oftentimes come and become a big, is that the commitment is only 4 to 6 hours per month. So it's twice a month. It's for just an outing twice a month on your schedule and the little schedule. So you come together and figure out your plan. And it's often something that they look forward to. They can't wait to do. It's something that is based on their mutual interests and that they want to get together and do. The other thing that's often an obstacle is a person will question, do they have the special skills, so to speak, that would be needed? And the answer to that is also there are no special skills required. You just have to be a person that can give your time and also be somebody that's in a position to be mentoring you. You can have a lot of things going on in your own life that would take away from that time. It has to be something that you put your whole heart into, but that will definitely be something that you get so much from. It's such a rewarding experience.
And also, I didn't realize you said it's only a 1-year commitment. Is that right?
That's correct. It's one. We do ask for a 1-year commitment. I'm sure everyone understands that there's a lot of adults coming in and out of the lives of most of the children in our program. So they really need somebody dependable. So if someone is planning on moving or making some other large life change, it's really not for them until they're in a position where they can definitely make that year commitment. And I'm sure, Lynette, you would be in agreement with me that a year just goes so fast. The older I get, the more I realize it just is like a snap of a finger. So a year commitment, while it seems like a long time, just goes by so quickly. So, and it's a lot of fun along the way.
Absolutely. And you know what? I didn't realize it was only a year commitment. I don't know why and you know what? I probably am not alone in thinking once you make this commitment, you know, this is until they graduate high school. That's what, I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be, but as I said earlier, it definitely is a lot of the time, which is wonderful. We do such a very careful job of matching a child with an adult that we really think is going to have a good connection and a good friendship. And because of that, we have actually a really great average length of our matches, which is about 3.2 years, which is actually more than the national average of the life of a big and little match. So we're really proud of that. But as I said, there's many, many more that go well beyond that. We have several just this month in our newsletter. One is 9 years together, and the one right after that was 8 years together, celebrating an anniversary in November. So that's really exciting to us to watch the kids grow before our eyes and to really just have a strong friendship.
Yeah. And I'm sure what happens is, you know, you sign up and say, okay, this is for a year that I'm going to commit, but then you become connected. You know, you build a relationship and a rapport with this person, a friendship.
Exactly. It doesn't always go that way, unfortunately, but almost always, I have to say. It's just we're so careful about making the right connection, but it's two human beings.
And absolutely.
Human beings are certainly not cookie cutters. So sometimes what looks like it's going to be a great match may not work. But for the most part, it does. And not only does it work, but it thrives.
Now, what do you think you've learned about yourself in this process?
So what I've learned really kind of goes back to that original quote that I said. I've learned that I've led a really privileged life compared to many of the kids, especially that are in our program. I was so fortunate to grow up with two parents who taught me about life. They modeled hard work and taught me about being successful and just taught me about being a good person. So what I've learned is that I'm very fortunate, but also that I have life experience now that I'm older and that I would like to share that with younger people. So I feel that I have the opportunity to do that here at Big Brothers Big Sisters, but I'm not a big sister yet. So that's my next goal, is once my children are a little bit older, and which really is not too far off, I'm definitely going to mentor a young woman that I think can learn from some of the experiences that I've had.
And I'm sure the reason why I asked you that question, because I don't want to speculate what, you know, somebody else could get out of this, but just working every day in this environment, I would just have to assume that kind of what you learn about yourself is going to be similar to what some other people could learn just being involved with one child.
Yes, I would have to say they will right away see that most of the children that we're dealing with are coming from single parent homes. They're often living at or below the poverty level. They're attending underperforming schools, things that we maybe did not grow up with. So it'll be a little bit of a culture shock at first, but then I think the part that takes over is just you need to do everything in your power to try to turn the tides for this child and help them to see that there is something out there for them besides what's right outside their front door. And that's something that we really are doing a good job with, I think, giving them opportunities. They might not even know that the beach is right down the street,
right,
or the university is only a few miles away from them. Mm-hmm. They don't even think about going to college someday because it's just not something that's been modeled for them. Their parent is working a lot, trying to make ends meet. They have a lot of siblings. It's just not the same situation that I myself grew up in and probably many of the big brothers and sisters. So it definitely is something that's eye-opening and then something that you really want to try to make a difference with.
I definitely know I had many, many students. I had some students in every class, even though we were only 10 miles from the ocean, 10 miles from the beach. I had many students who had never even been to the beach before.
I know. It sounds crazy, but it's true.
Yep. I know we have people listening right now and they would like to find out more. So if they're saying, I need to find out more right now, where can I read more about this or what kind of resource you could offer anybody who's out there thinking about it right now, what would you suggest?
Well, I would definitely suggest if they wanted to look on our website, that would be an excellent way to start. You'll be able to see what we're doing, the basically what is required of a person that's interested in volunteering. And that would be our website, which is bbbsmmc.org. Or if they're into reading and they want to read an actual book, I have a great one that was published a few years ago, and it's called Little Moments, Big Magic, Inspirational Stories of Big Brothers and Big Sisters and the Magic They Create. And it's actual stories written by bigs and littles, and it really illustrates what their bond is like, what are some of the things that they do together, and how they're making a difference in not only the little's life, but the big's life as well. They will often say, the adult will often say to us that they're getting just as much or more sometimes than their little is. So it's a great book. One of the stories was written by a big and little from our agency a number of years ago, so it's kind of special to us. And that would be something I would recommend. It just gives you some inspiration for thinking about the next steps.
That sounds awesome. And you know, I mean, we all know that we're all students and teachers, and we know that we learn from kids and that kids teach us more than we could ever fathom.
I agree with you. It's excellent.
Yeah. Okay. So this round is what I call Motivate Me, Express to Success, because I believe if people are going to act, and in this instance, we're looking for those people who know that they would make their lives more meaningful if they could reach out to a child, and that's it. So I always say, first, you need to envision it. Then you need to explore what it would take. And once you've done all that, then you execute a plan. So what would somebody have to envision or, you know, see or picture for themselves and the child if they were thinking about moving forward with this?
I would say creating and building a friendship with a young person is what you should see and picture for yourself. Sharing activities that you enjoy and that the child enjoys, also having fun together. And then most importantly, seeing life through a child's eyes again. I hear it time and time again that that is something that as an older adult, people love to see life as it was when they were a child. And that's the opportunity that they're given.
You know, I remember I was married 4 years, literally to the day. My anniversary is actually this Saturday. My daughter's birthday is Sunday. So it was, it was Thanksgiving Day.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was Thanksgiving Day. It was my 4-year wedding anniversary. It was dessert and we were timing contractions. But I just remember the year before that feeling like I've done everything you could do when you're married and when you're a certain age, but like the holidays just kind of lost their excitement. I don't know. Life just got kind of on the boring side. And then as soon as we had our daughter, forget it, a whole new world exploded. I just know that if people got involved with children, and even just twice a month, even the holidays would just be brighter. Even just the seasons would be more fun, right?
I think you're right. I know because my children are older and it's kind of boring, to be honest, when we talk about Christmas and they just want to make a list here. This is what I want. How much are you going to spend on me kind of thing? And I say, oh, what happened to the magic of Christmas? It just somehow loses a little bit of that. Of course, you work hard to make it come back and do other things. But I think when you have a child, that it's just such a magical time for them.
So
a holiday or just any kind of an outing that maybe they haven't had before, it really does make everybody happy.
Right. And you feel so important. So I say envision all the activities, envision the seasons, envision the holidays. I'm smiling thinking about it. Okay. So then to explore.
Okay, so where can you get more information? Again, I would encourage everyone to go to our website, which is bbbsmmc.org. And then from there, you can go on our Facebook page, which we keep constantly moving, and that's also connected to Twitter. So that'll give you some ideas of what we're doing. We're always posting stories and cute photos, selfies, things that are going on with our bigs and littles so that it can get people interested and just kind of seeing what's out there for them and how they can make a difference.
And then to execute?
To execute, I would say first you have to make the decision. You want to make a difference in a young life. Then once you decide that, you can give us a call at 732-544-2224 or again, visit the website bbbsmmc.org to get started by finding out what it will take for you to mentor a child and deciding if the time right now is the right time for you. So first you would have to do an inquiry process where you would find out even more than we're discussing today about the time commitment, about the background checks and the screening process, which of course is very rigorous as it should be.
Right.
And then once you have all of that information, then you can make your final decision as to whether or not it's something that you want to move forward with.
Okay, so what kind of closing advice would you give everybody?
My advice would be to look inside yourself and see if you have time to share with a young person. We like to say here that a big brother or a big sister is an ear to listen, a shoulder to lean on, and a push in the right direction. And if you can be that person, then you should act on it.
I really believe that people can be somebody else's secret weapon. I really just believe that. I love that. I just know it from experiences that I've had, and I actually had somebody say that to me because I gave them information they just didn't think of because nobody was there to give it to them. And this person was in their 20s, and he turned around and he looked at me and he goes, I feel like I have a secret weapon. And he got the job.
That's fantastic. I love it.
And
I agree with you. Everybody has their own skills and the things that make them them. And I think that if you can pair up with somebody and you both have those skills and those traits, you can really, you know, make things happen.
Yeah. And fill in the blanks for each other. Okay.
Exactly.
So we have your website address. Is there any other contact information you'd like to share?
I believe I gave the phone number. I can give it again, 732-544-2224. And certainly call and we can start that process, as I mentioned. This is my information from my agency in New Jersey. However, if you're looking for information somewhere else in the country, please visit bbbsa.org, which is Big Brothers, Big Sisters of America. And by going on their website, you'll be able to search and find the closest location to where you are.
Okay, and I'm going to make sure that I include everything that you mentioned, the book, the website, the phone number, any links that you mentioned in the show notes for today. So Mary Beth, we have a private Facebook group. It's called Motivate Me Ultimate Support System. So is there a way we could friend you on Facebook and make you a part of the group so listeners could also reach out to you there?
That would be great. I would love it. So just search my name, which is Mary Beth, all one word with a small B. And my last name is Bull, B-U-L-L. Easy to remember.
Okay, great. And if I can't find you, I will email you.
That would be fine.
But we'll get you a part of that group. So listen, I want to thank you so much for coming on today's show.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And at the end of the show, I always give my listeners a go-do. And so I'd like to do two things here. Number one, I want to bring us back to gratitude because I think the people who serve and the people who are on the receiving end, we're all grateful. We're all grateful for these amazing opportunities. Today is Thanksgiving. I am grateful. I'm grateful for all of my family, all of my loved ones, all of my audience. I am grateful for you today coming on, Mary Beth. That was awesome. And I want to make sure that I tell Anissa I am grateful that she has been in my life all these years. And number two, I just want to make sure you stop back tomorrow for our reflection on gratitude, where I give you information on how to take a quiz that's going to rate how grateful you truly are. Thanks, everybody. I'll be thinking about you this Thanksgiving. You motivate me. I'm Lynette Renda.